Thank you for joining us again for another informative episode of Satellite Nation. Satellite Nation is a weekly call-in show geared towards the hobby side of all things television. Brought to you by Satellite Guys Radio. Now here are your hosts, Michael and Brian.
Good evening, Satellite Nation. I'm Brian Gold, Titanium Satellite.
Good evening. I'm Michael Graves, KE4ESD. Joining us tonight will be Kel Nelson, K4CDN, host of It's Photime at www.itsphotime.com.
So what is Photime?
Photime. We're going to find out.
Well, I was listening to it, listening to some of his podcast, and it's pretty interesting. Some great guests on there, and so it will be great having him on this evening. So, Nation, get ready to call in to our live show, February 11th, 2015. Let's talk about amateur radio. Let's talk about Photime. Let's talk about any other technology that's on your mind. Call toll free, 877-SAT-GUYS. That's 877-728-4897. International Unlimited Calling Plan listeners, call 347-327-9319. And we'll be giving you those numbers a little bit later during the show.
Yeah, well, I always give them out several times. And like always, guys, if you miss a episode of Satellite Nation or can't be around, you know, always head over to satelliteguys.us, head over to the radio forum, and there'll always be archives after every show. Put archive on there and all the previous episodes. And don't forget to go over to Facebook at facebook.com/satellite nation radio and like us over there. Give us your comments. Let us know what you think about the show, what you don't like, what you do like. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter at satnatradio.
All right, and we want to give a special thanks to Scott over at satelliteguys.us. Now, that's a great forum, so if you're into technology and just kind of want to chat with other people who are interested in the same technology that you are, whether it be DirecTV, Dish Network, free-to-air, C-band, streaming, telephones, TV shows, whatever it might be, there's probably a sub-forum over there of people talking about what you like to talk about. And then also want to thank Scott for getting us on Satellite Guys Radio. A lot of you are probably listening to us tonight on Satellite Guys Radio. And then a special thanks to Dave Wallace over at gotcband.com. Now, he has a lot of great satellite equipment over there, and he also helps us get on to satellite and over to Satellite Guys Radio with his IceCast audio server. Thank you, Dave.
And I always give a special thanks out to Ralph White for putting us up on Access America, and which is streaming, and also on G19 on the satellite. So I always appreciate that. And he has a show right after our show with Mike Cole at 9 p.m., and we also want to give a thanks out to the Titanium Satellite store at titaniumsatellite.com.
And then also, Michael, your store, www.nc-electronics.com. Now, visit these stores. These stores help pay the bills and help us support Satellite Nation. So understand we have a T-shirt drawing a little later on this evening. What's that all about, Michael?
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago we started doing a we got some T-shirts, and we started doing what we did is put on Facebook, and all you had to do on Facebook is like the post I kept bumping and share the post on your wall or something, and you'd be automatically entered into a win a T-shirt. So here later on tonight, I'm going to select a winner and post it up on Facebook, and I'll also be put on Satellite Guys stuff too.
So does that mean that anybody listening right now to the live show has a little bit more time to go over to Facebook and enter to win?
That's right. So if you want to still get your chance in to get your T-shirt, head over to Facebook at, like I said before, facebook.com/satellite nation radio. And there's, you'll find that post and like it and put a comment on it and let me know you want to win a T-shirt.
Excellent. Now, we're going to be bringing Dave on here in just a moment, the news with Dave, and it sounds like he has some great stuff for us. Now, Dave's going to be joining us live this evening, so Looks like he's going to be having some interesting stuff about Sling TV and Falcon 9 and some other stuff. So let's bring him on. Hello, Dave.
This is Dave with the news. How are you guys doing tonight? Well, this week in news, Sling TV went public. Yep, so if you want to try out the new Sling TV service, just go on over to slingtv.com, and or it's actually sling.com. It's a seven-day free trial. Also with the Sling, they came out with the new PC app. But I'll be honest, I downloaded it, tried it, and it seems a little clunky. That's perhaps why they didn't release it during the beta. They were probably still working on it. Speaking of Dish Network, it looks like Dish Network has come out with a promotion or a gimmick or something to get more customers. And basically what they're saying is Dish is now going to guarantee that you're going to save $250 if you switch to them from DirecTV in your first year. Well, you know, $250, that's a little bit of money. But what's not good from the promo and what a lot of people are talking about on satellite, guys, is you actually have to go directly through Dish to do this, which eliminates all the local Dish retailers, which is who built Dish Network. So we'll just have to see how that plays out. But, you know, it doesn't sound too good. Doesn't sound bad, but we'll see. Now, speaking of the satellite launch that happened this evening, SpaceX launched the Falcon 9 with the payload was the Deep Space Climate Observatory, and that went up at 6 Eastern time. What didn't happen is when the first stage came back to Earth, they were actually going to land it on a boat that's powered by a drone. So apparently it's a remote-controlled vessel that they were going to land the payload on coming back, which just sounds crazy. They couldn't because of rough water, but I'll tell you what, that Elon Musk has got some stuff going on and really going to be cool to see his satellite network that he got coming up. This is Dave with the news. Catch you next week.
Well, thanks, Dave. Hey, a little bit about that. Did anybody watch the launch tonight? Was that up on the satellite?
It was on NASA HD.
Awesome. Did you guys watch it? I didn't have time myself.
I didn't. No, I didn't.
We had a bit.
Well, thank goodness that catcher boat's a drone. I don't know if I'd want to be the captain of the boat going, okay, it's coming down. It's coming down. It's coming down. Whoa.
Boom.
So
I think that's impressive that they're going to try to catch that with a drone, though. You know, I mean, that's just crazy.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Hey, about this Dish Network, you know, I used to be a Dish Network reseller, and that seems like a pretty darn raw deal.
I agree. I mean, I think it's – I mean, and if you think about it, Dish Network was built by all the old C-band retailers, really, and now they're just deserting them and kicking them to the curb, it seems like.
Well, I mean, do they offer anything through a local reseller? I mean, hey, call us on our 800 number, and we'll save you $250. Go see your local guy. What do you get?
Nothing.
Ooh, maybe a stuffed Joey?
Perhaps.
Maybe.
So Sling TV, PC app, what's missing on it? What do they need to do?
It's just as clunky. It looks like stuff is not well organized. Like when I was playing with it, I mean, I had about a medium window on the screen, and it just didn't look like it was responsive design. It looked like, you know, you'd have to stretch it out to get to a certain deal, you know, at the bottom, or it just didn't flow. It didn't seem like it was all responsive design. And you have to download an app, you know, which it was about 20 meg. I would have thought that maybe they would just let you log in on the website to do it, but I bet it's got to be something with security, where with their carriage agreements, they've got to have some kind of encryption or something there. It's the only thing I could think of.
Now, I noticed that Dish Sling announced that they added a couple more channels, or will be adding the, AMC networks?
I don't know. I didn't see that.
Yeah, I was just reading the announcement that they were going to be bringing in some of these networks, and there were a couple of good channels in that grouping I'm sure it was AMC networks.
Oh, you are correct. Yeah, AMC. Yeah, it's coming. Now, one other thing that I forgot to mention that they've done, which I'm not real too happy about, is sideloading. Like you can't do it on your Fire TV anymore or other Android dongles, which I don't know exactly why they would do that, but it appears that's taking place now too.
Did you see that over Joe over at Fridge FTA had actually called them to talk about the Android, and it seems like that it is going to be released, and at least that's what they told him, that there was going to be something released that would allow Fire and other Android set-top boxes and other devices to have access.
I didn't see that. I would think it's got to be something with, security to secure the content. I mean, that's what I would think, but.
Or they want to be a device seller as well.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too.
Well, they do own EchoStar, right?
Yeah. Let's keep the equipment arm of the company. Cool. Well, you going to be sticking around with us for a few minutes there, Dave, as we bring in on our guests, or do you need to get going there?
I'm going to take off and pull up on the Satellite Guys Radio and check it out while I do a little network reconfiguration. But I'll catch you guys out next week and hope you have a good show.
All right, Dave. Appreciate you coming in with the news.
Definitely. Thanks a lot, Dave. All right. Now, who do we have visiting with us tonight?
We're going to have, here we got Kel Nelson, K4CDN. He's got an amateur radio podcast that he does called Folk Time, or It's Folk Time. So welcome to the show, Kel.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Hey, good evening. So tell us a little bit about who you are, Kale. I know I first met you through Satellite Guys, and your username over there is NOV-01, November 01. So tell us a little bit about yourself, Kale.
Well, my name's Kale. I am an amateur radio operator, and like Michael said, my call is Kilo 4 Charlie Delta November. I am a general class licensee, and I have been enamored with radio my entire life. Now, excuse me, I never got my license until they finally got rid of the code where you had to take the and pass the competency there with a code. But I've always just loved radio, and I have spent almost a decade in non-commercial FM at a local station here in the upstate of South Carolina. And I just decided that I would start another ham radio podcast and come up with the worst name ever for a podcast having to do with amateur radio. And I'm having a lot of fun doing it.
So the worst name, what is Faux Time?
Faux Time is actually it's a not so nice inside joke for a amateur radio, or actually for a forum that I participate in pretty regularly. There's an inside joke where a guy was posting in a thread, and his finger slipped, and instead of the letter G, he typed F. So instead of going, he was fowing, and it kind of just grew on itself from there.
Okay.
And initially, my podcast was created in my mind to take the 100 or so guys that communicate with each other regarding amateur radio on this this internet forum, and just it would be me, and we would get one of the guys on, and we would introduce them as their avatar, because everybody over there is an avatar. So it would just kind of give the fellow members there a little more insight of who the guys really are. without spilling too many beans on the table. And
right.
So I came up with the name and the artwork and started going through some understanding of how to podcast and whatnot. And some of my friends there decided that, hey, what you're talking about doing is a lot bigger than just our small online community. What you're talking about doing is something that could really benefit the hobby, and we want to encourage you to go that direction. So I had already done the artwork. I had the vocal work done for the intros and outros. So we ran with it, and it is FOTIME, the other ham radio podcast. And, you know, I don't really like the name and trying to decide what to do with that, but that was the premise. It was a premise. It was an inside joke to play on an inside joke with some internet buddies. But it's really grown to an internationally accepted and anticipated amateur radio podcast that I'm proud to be a part of.
How long has it been going now, Kev?
I started in July of 14, and just yesterday, episode number 19 posted. It's a biweekly podcast. And,
okay.
Of course, I get requests to do it once a week, once a day. But I'm also married with 5 children, so they get me once every other week.
I know exactly what they mean, married with 5 children, so I know exactly how that is. They can make things rough. So how long have you been a ham?
I was licensed about, I wish I really knew. I think it was 5 years ago. I need to figure that out so I can say it with a surety, but I'm pretty sure it's about 4 or 5 years ago.
It was after they dropped it.
And that was really what kind of just pushed me. Well, there were 2 things that pushed me over the edge. I worked at Radio Shack when I was in high school. I mean, I've been a nerd my entire life.
Hey, welcome. Welcome, fellow Radio Shack employee.
Yeah, it was a great job too. We had amateurs come in all the time buying stuff, and they knew that I was had an affection for radio. This was the time when we had big speakers and amplifiers and whatever in our car, and I was more on that end of the spectrum. But these guys worked so hard to convince me to take the test. Well, I never did. I never studied, and as I got older and got married, I stopped by Radio Shack one day, and I saw the Gordon West Radio Shack version of the No Code Tech book, and I bought it, and I started studying it, and I even bought some gear. I bought a Yaesu HT and a Yaesu 1802 mobile, a couple of antennas, and still never tested. Sold the gear, got into Harley Davidson's, and I was married by now, and then I had a child. Our first child was born, and got into outdoor model railroading. And through this whole time, I would let the manual expire, and I'd buy another one, and I'd start studying again. Well, finally, my wife comes home from work one day with a package from Amazon, and she says, "What's this?" And I opened it up, and it's a ARRL study manual. And she said, "There's no way that you're going to take that test. You're not ever going to do that. How many is this?" And I said, "This is my 4th study guide I've purchased." And you guys know that they're good for 4 years, so that'll tell you how long I put it off.
I
studied, and I passed, and I went back at the next testing session and took my general, and have just really, really enjoyed the hobby. I spend a lot of time in the hobby now producing a podcast for everybody else that's out there enjoying the hobby. So that's how it goes, I guess.
Well, are you mainly just on VHF and UHF, or you do everything now since you got general, you got HF set up?
Yeah, a funny story. This past weekend, I was able to purchase a 38-foot tower and an old Cushcraft A4S antenna, a 3-element beam, and I'm excited about that. But I spend a lot of my time, we live way out in the country, so I spend a lot of time driving back and forth when I go to town, and I do a lot on VHF and UHF there, kind of leaning more toward UHF now that we've got some new guys coming into the fold. But here at the house, at the shack, I've got a Cherry Kenwood TS-850, which was kind of my dream rig. And my wife purchased it for me last year for my 40th birthday. Now, granted, it's a 15- or 20-year-old rig, but it's just gorgeous. And it's 180 through, or it's 160 through 10, and it glows. It's gorgeous. So yeah, I've got that. I've got VHF, UHF in here. You know, 2 meter 440, 220, and I've got a scanner bank, and I really enjoy working 20 meters single sideband. I also enjoy working digital modes. Like Olivia PSK-31, and to me it's just really cool. Like I said at the beginning, radio has always fascinated me, and to be able to do the things that we're able to do now, and they've been doing it for years, but what I can do now with amateur radio without being internet dependent is just awesome to me. So that's kind of my thing, the emergency preparedness kind of. You know, portable rigs, emergency communication boxes, and things like that. I built a couple of those. I enjoy that aspect.
Primary goal, you know.
You think about it. We're here to serve the community,
right?
You know, and we get to play in the meantime. So it's a great hobby. It's got, you know, just doing this podcast has been really, really eye opening for me. I knew that the hobby was humongous. I knew that. Talking to guys, I mean, I've had guys on that have done the summits on the air. Harlequin was on, and he did a man pack, military backpack radio show with me. It was awesome. I talked to Cecil from up in Missouri, talking about the big Joplin tornado disaster. Art was on, and we talked about the expeditions. And we've covered one of our co-hosts, who guest hosts for us sometimes, Jeremy has come on, and he does. He's really big into solar power and battery. George Seropoulos from out in California with the Baynet Group out there has been just a wonderful help and a great part of a new part of the show, doing repeater work and building clubs and building up your new members. And it's just an awesome hobby for anyone that's interested in anything regarding electronics. And if you like FTA, I mean, it basically holds hands at the movies with ham radio.
Now, definitely a lot of similarities. Now, I noticed about a year ago, I think was the first time that I kind of noticed you appear on the Satellite Guys forum. You were asking questions about, hey, I've heard about free-to-air. What is it? I'm kind of interested in getting into it. So that was about a year ago. So, tell us what kind of interested you to go into satellite reception and how the hobby's taken you now.
Well, it's really funny that, or at least it's funny to me, because my family is not really a big television family. We've recently just added our second television to the house, and that's the entire house. It's never really been something we wanted to put a lot of focus on in our home. Just because we just don't want to go down that road with our kids. And we moved way out into the country about 5 years ago, and right before that we had completely unplugged from television. We had no outside connection to the TV. And sometime after unplugging in 2008 and moving down here, I had stumbled over something about FTA, free-to-air television. And so the bug, the seed was planted, and we were down here and in the country, and we have finally put up an over-the-air television antenna, so we can get some PBS for the kids and the MeTV and the GetTV and, you know, some of those things that we can get on FTA as well. And I said, you know what, I want to do the satellite thing. And I kind of got the same response from my wife, you know, oh, you're talking about that again, like I got with ham radio. And it was very similar. And I'm not sure if she's listening in the house, but it was really similar. And if she is, she's probably rolling her eyes. But I decided to start looking at it and getting into it a little more just to see what was involved. Well, we're believers, we're Christians, and I got to looking at what was available, and I said, hey, there's a lot of great programming that coincides with our beliefs on this FTA Galaxy 19, most especially for the kids. An alternative to the public educational television is The Smile of a Child. So that was kind of really what sold me on the whole idea, was this to get The Smile of a Child here in the house, because we live so far out, we have no internet connection through any high-speed provider, no UVerse, no AT&T, no Comcast, no cable, nothing is available where we live. So satellite was the only thing, since we really don't like to watch TV much. You know, why do you want to pay
For the listeners who are not familiar with Smile of a Child, Smile of a Child is a network put up there by Trinity Broadcasting, TBN. The programming runs in hourly blocks, very similar to what you would find on, the age blocks that you would find on some of the other kids' networks. The great thing about it is it's very safe, family-friendly programming, without all the trash stuff on there. So if you're a parent out there and you're looking for good, wholesome programming for your kids, free to air, Trinity Broadcasting Network has been one of the longest FTA broadcasters, meaning that they put their signal up there free with no encryption, no pay, and they've been up there probably one of the longest broadcasters and definitely the longest Christian broadcaster up there. But it's a great service. So I just wanted to put that little plug in there for TBN.
Yeah, and to tie into that, Brian, I'll go as far to say that it's not all just Christian programming. So if you're not in that that system of belief, it's still very safe programming for kids. And good. That was really that's what pulled me into the FTA.
Yeah, and it's just good moral programming. And it's something that you can walk away and leave the TV playing and not be shocked when you come back in the room what your kid is watching.
Right. Yeah, the only thing that might get you, if it's an older program and the lady's got really big bangs or something, on her forehead, how the women used to wear the hair, that might get you. But it's still great programming.
Well, for those of you just tuning in, our guest tonight is Cale Nelson, K4CDN. The host of Faux Time. So if you want to catch his podcast sometime, go on over to www.itsfautime.com, ITSFOTIME.com. So back over to you there, Michael, if you want to find out more about Cale and what his technical interests are.
How'd you number five? No, I'm kidding. Anyway, now, you're talking about you're not really happy with the name.
We don't have TV.
You think you'll change the name, or you think it's just kind of stuck now, and whether you like it or not?
Well, I've been talking to a lot of people about that. That's a really good question, Michael. And some of the listeners really don't even know any of this yet. So for folks like SBCLK down in Texas listening to us right now, he may not know that I'm considering a name change, but I've been talking to, I've got a podcast mentor, Dave Jackson from the School of Podcasting. He does a podcast about how to podcast. He's an amazing dude. And we've been kind of having a conversation back and forth. And when I started the podcast, I don't know where it came from. I have no idea. But the tagline, the other ham radio podcast, it just kind of came into the mix, because I knew it wasn't the only one, probably not going to be the best one. But it's another one, so it became the other ham radio podcast. I'm kind of leaning towards that. I've had a lot of great response for people who really like the tagline, and I'm thinking I can probably use it as a title and maybe go from Faux Time, the other ham radio podcast, to the other ham radio podcast, Faux Time, and kind of just work it around in there.
Hey, and you can keep the same T-shirts, too. Just wear it backwards.
Exactly, yeah. Put your Snuggie on inside out. Nobody will ever know the difference. We've got a Snuggie in our T-shirt store.
Now, a couple of years, about a year ago, you were talking about getting into free-to-air, and you had mentioned that a friend of yours who's almost also a ham radio operator had offered you a big C-band dish, but you ended up going with just a smaller KU-band dish, and then sounds like you were kind of building off of that to do some other projects. So in addition to just watching watching programming, what else do you use your FTA system for?
Well, my friend Wayne was K4SPA. He has a satellite. He'd probably love for me to come get it today. It's a 10-footer stationary fiberglass dish, and I'm really afraid to touch it. I mean, I don't know if I've got enough friends to go over there to move it after you guys gave me your opinions on the Satellitecast forum. But what I have done is I purchased another dish, and my shack is in a barn, like a farm barn. That's what my shack is in. It's a workshop area in a barn, and I bought a second dish. I think it's about a 32-inch dish. It's not a 36. I think it's a 30 or 32 KU dish from a gentleman a little north of me up in Michael's home state of North Carolina in Charlotte. And I went up there and got the dish and came home. He had the dish, the LNB, the receiver, the satellite. He sold the coax and everything. I just can't get it to work, he said. And I brought it all home, put it on the barn here. And what I'm doing with it is I'm taking the radio station feeds, and I'm playing that through a small Ramsey FM transmitter kit. So I can listen to, say, your program over Access America on the AM radio in the house, in every room of the house, instead of having to sit there in front of the television. Or I can listen to any of the programming that's available either on the video end, the video feeds, or the audio, the radio feeds. And it's just, you know, it's a two-mile radius. I shouldn't say that out loud. It's a very small footprint.
It's about a 500-foot radius. Go ahead.
Yeah, if I sneeze the right way. But I built a really simple dipole out of Romex wire and PVC pipe and fed it with 75-ohm cable. And, I mean, I can hear what's playing up here in the shack down in the house. And it's really just, it's just Kale being a nerd, Kale being a geek, being my future project of this is to have like a Park 15 radio station, probably on AM, using a Park 15 transmitter, a legal limit Park 15 transmitter. And this Ramsey I've got is a legal limit Park 15 FM trend. It's a small one. It's not the big monster one. But, I just like radio. And I think it's cool that I've got a dish out here on the barn that can take a signal from a bird out in space and put it through a receiver and play it then into an FM transmitter, and I can hear it down in the house. That's just cool to me.
And very cool. I'm actually working on a project myself. You might have heard me chatting about it before we went on this evening. I've decided to do a point-to-point link from my office back over to my house, which is, according to Google Maps, 2,976 feet away. And so what I've gotten is two Ubiquiti Pico stations, the M2s, and then I got a 27 dB gain parabolic dish on one side here at my shop. I just put it up on the roof today. And going to be putting a 24 dB over on the house, and going to be shooting C-band programming, hopefully in all of its high definition gigabit glory, without using the internet. And so I just thought, you know, you're playing around with FM radio for a radio station, and I'm just taking to that next level because I can't have a full size C-band dish at my house. So when I leave the shop at night, I have to walk away from all this beautiful HD programming back home, and then I've been slingboxing everything from my office back to home to watch it at night. And so when I looked at this point-to-point Ubiquiti system, I went, send video. Can it take, a full bandwidth HD? Yeah, it sure could. So that's what I'm working on right now. So you're not the only geek in the world, my friend.
that's a great project for something like I'm doing here. If I ever put a C-band, I would probably put it up toward the barn and of course, a coax run's not going to cost as much as a Ubiquiti, both ends of a Ubiquiti system, but if you can pass it and have it in both locations, why not? That's a great idea, Brian. I love that idea.
And the neat thing is, not only Slingbox, but then also, you can use Just treat it like an extension of your LAN. So when you're sitting at home, you pull out your little smartphone, change channels on the A3, and get full HD coming back. And it's pretty cool system. I've been playing around with it in the shop here, and now I'm just extending it from 100 feet to 3,000 feet.
Wow, that's awesome. Yeah, I could that would work for me. I could see that in my future. Thanks for spending my wife's money, Brian. She'll kill me now.
Hey, let's go ahead and we're going to invite folks to call in.
Phone lines are now open for Satellite Nation. Call us at 877-SAT-GUYS or 877-728-4897.
Or 347-327-9319.
So if you're listening on February 11th and you have a question for Cale or just want to talk technology, give us a call. We'd love to chat with you. So I noticed that you had a guest on one of your podcasts, and you're talking about SDR, Satellite Defined Radio. Have you jumped into that one yet, Cale?
I've got a couple of the SDR dongles, and I have, guys, this is where the truth comes out about the podcast. I have very smart people on my show to make me look a lot smarter than I really am. And if you go back and listen to episode one, I say that, you know. I'm sorry, Michael.
I just said now we know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, episode one, I disclaimed it right at the head end there. But, yeah, I've got a couple of the dongles, and I've used them here and there. What I'd really like to do is to put one up and do the aircraft spotting, and I just haven't. It's an equipment issue, it's a time issue, I recently put up a new scanner antenna. I put a scantenna up. I didn't really know if I was going to like it or not, but so far I've been really happy with it, and it's working great, and the dongle works great, and I've enjoyed both of the shows. I think it was Mario that was on, and they were both very interesting. And it kind of encouraged me to get back up here and play with mine. So it's over here on the desk at the shack.
Well, how can you go wrong for $15, bucks, right?
You know, I remember when they first came out, and I was a fairly new ham when people were talking about this. I had no idea what it was. I was like, $15, I'm buying it. I don't even know what it does. And, what's that? But it is a lot of fun. And what's crazy is the hacks that people do with those things, to where, I mean, they're doing everything and listening and seeing all sorts of things with a piece of 15.
Yeah.
Whoever came up with that, I hope they're getting paid some royalties, because that thing is just massively huge.
Well, Cale, we have a caller, so let's go ahead and invite a caller on. Area code 207, you're on Satellite Nation.
Yes, good evening.
Good evening,
Brian and Cale. Two things. One, I've been a ham for 56 years, but wanted to mention I recently upgraded to the extra class, and all it took was going out on the internet and finding the question pool and spending a weekend going through it. It was all free. You didn't have to buy anything. And I suspect people could do the same thing for the general class or technician class. I haven't tried that, of course, because I already had a advanced class. But
right.
And the other comment I had was on this Ubiquiti system. I'm not familiar with that. Could you give us a little more info on that, please?
Yeah, sure.
And I'll just listen.
Yeah, and by the way, I didn't catch your name.
My name is Dick, and Brian, we've talked a couple of times. I'm up here in Maine.
Okay.
The Great White North.
Yeah, very white right now.
Yeah, 4 or 5 feet worth. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, that's the reason you put your antennas on towers up in Maine, I guess. Keep them out of the snow.
Yeah, well, I'm real curious. I have a couple of dishes up in the further down east where, according to the depth map, it's over 60 inches. So I'll be real curious to see what's left of those antennas.
There we go.
Whatever.
Well, Dick, thanks for calling this evening. Definitely the Ubiquiti system, if you look them up, Google Ubiquiti. That's Ubiquiti. And they have a system, the two transmitters that I got are the Pico Station M2. The reason I went with those is that they have every parameter of them from, how much data, throughput, how much fallback, every parameter of them can be adjusted via your computer. So it isn't just like grabbing a wireless Wi-Fi unit and just hooking up to an outdoor antenna. You can adjust everything about it to optimize point to point. So these can be used for point to point, or they could be used for just an access point, however you want to use them. But they put out 1 watt, and so you actually have to scale them back quite a ways when you hook them up to like a 27 dB gain or 24 dB gain to keep them legal. Otherwise, we would have a large area broadcasting like Kale was talking about. And of course, we would not do that.
Of course not.
So what I'm trying to do here is, I'm just trying to get HD video back from my shop about 3,000 feet away to my house. And this afternoon, I just put one end of it up. I put the 27 dB parabolic up on top of my building here, transmitting up the road. I hopped in the car with my Android, and I was able to get on the Android just with the internal antenna about 2,500 feet away. So getting pretty close to home just with an Android. So I'm looking for really lossless transmission, with a 27 on one end and 24 dB on the other.
Yeah, very nice.
Yeah, so the Ubiquiti, it's not the cheapest one out there, but, they are probably one of the best Wi-Fi or WLANs, whatever you want to call them, units out there, and very impressive. If you look around on there, there is absolutely no comparison to anything else on the market. And I had bought the international version so I can travel internationally and also pick up the channels that we cannot use here in North America. So same price. You just have to go through a couple more hoops to make sure they know who you are and you're not going to be using those frequencies to interfere here.
Right, right. Well, very good. Thank you for the info, and I'm going to step back and just listen now. Thank
All right.
You.
Thanks, Dick. Hey, we also have we have another caller from area code 504. 504, go ahead. You're on Satellite Nation.
Hi, this is Ralph in New Orleans.
Good evening, Ralph. How are you?
I have a question about your Ubiquiti stuff. I'm familiar with the equipment, very familiar with it. My question is, how do you going to encode your satellite receiver output to IP?
Just going to use the IP output on the satellite receiver. So like the Amico A3.
Oh, you have a satellite receiver with an IP output.
Correct, yes. And I'll share
it. Okay, what kind of receiver is that?
Using the Amico A3. I was also playing around with the Mini HDSE, but it wasn't nearly what I want it to be, so I've mostly been playing around with the A3 recently.
Okay.
Now, also,
that's what made me wonder. Usually when you have an RF output or an HDMI output, you need to encode it to IP.
Right, right. Now, what I have been doing,
it's not that simple as it sounds. You need a special receiver that has an IP output.
Right. Now, also, what I've been doing here is something that I just found out by chance was I use a sling box quite a bit for my boxes that don't have IP out. And whenever I would connect to the sling box through the internet, the quality was less than stellar. It was pretty bad, in fact, and the remote control remote control channel changes in any menu would take between 3 and 5 seconds.
Sling box, one idea, you don't have to feed it to the internet. You can feed it on your local network, and which becomes a local network then.
Right, but if
when you have Ubiquiti transmitter on the receiver.
And that's why I'm going to the Ubiquiti, definitely. But what I found out was, what I could do was, last night I just happened to be testing my Ubiquitis before I started installing them outside. So instead of hooking a LAN cable between my sling box and my router, I just...
What frequency are you going to pick? 2.4 gigs? Or
yes. Yeah, that's
3.75
what
or 5.8 or 900 megahertz?
I'm doing 2.4 because I have minimal trees here.
You have a clear line of sight then?
Yes, correct, correct. So what I did was, last night, I just wanted to share with people who use Slingbox, because the Slingbox sensed that it had a gigabyte path and it was using fixed IPs, the Slingbox just immediately went into this high resolution mode, producing the best picture. Even though I was still hooking up to it through the internet from my house, the encoding from the Slingbox was fooled into thinking that I had a direct point-to-point link. And so the internet, the remote control through the internet reacted immediately, and it was the best picture quality ever. So if you're using a Slingbox...
So if you have a decent internet connection at your shop, you don't need the internet at your house anymore. You can get it through that.
Could, but with the radio show and everything, that's a little risky. But
because
you never know.
Your Wi-Fi link becomes part of your network.
Exactly. Yep. All right. Well, thanks,
so
Ralph. We're looking forward to your show tonight, Ralph. What you going to have on after our show ends?
We're going to be on. I don't know what we're going to talk about. It. We go with the flow with the caller.
And it's always a good show. So we have Ralph with Access
and
America.
We do need callers. We would like to get some fresh blood in there.
There we go. So after this show ends in about...
Some people who never called us before.
About 13 minutes, satellite show, Sat Talk Radio with Ralph Black and Mike Cole.
Mike Cole.
Well, thank you very much, Ralph, for calling.
You're welcome. Take care.
Take care. We'll be listening to your show.
All right.
Bye-bye, Ralph.
All right, Cale. Well, we kind of lost track on your projects there, but sounds like your show is one that we're going to have to put on our must-listen-to list for blogs.
Well, I would hope so. I mean, we have a really good time. We cater to and cater for the new amateur, okay, somebody that's recently licensed, somebody like you, Brian, who's got plenty of technological experience to take a 35-question test and pass to get his license. And folks who are interested in learning about the hobby, we're your place to go. For folks who are just getting into the hobby, or you may be kind of leaning towards the outside things that they do in the hobby, or the emergency communications, we kind of have a lot of that on there as well. But it's wide open. I tell folks it's amateur radio perspective from a boomer's kid. My dad's a baby boomer, and I'm 41, so my target is 25 to 55 year old males who want to learn more and be a part and have fun, you know, just sitting around chatting with your buddies about amateur radio.
You know, and I want to throw it out there. You know, everybody goes, well, you know, amateur radio is dying. Ham radio, that was my dad's hobby. You know, and then they head over and pick up their iPhone or whatever and text. But, you know, the moment you create the link, instead of, relying on an internet company or a phone company and you paying your phone bill, the moment you make that link and you start communicating, whether it's by voice or by digital, I must admit, it's a pretty big rush. And that's why I'm getting back into it.
Oh, yeah, that's wonderful. I mean, it's magic. It's magic. And I'm glad that they figured it out years ago. I mean, you can blame it on Marconi or Tesla, either one. I'm kind of a Tesla fan myself, but I was a big Tesla fan back in high school when they were a pretty hard rocking band back in the day. I kind of got pushed away from Marconi, but, you know, I'm just being real, guys. But it is a lot of fun. And the funny thing about going to the cell phone technology, every bit of that stuff was developed in amateur radio years ago. I mean, your cell phone really is nothing more than a glorified radio. You just don't push to talk on it, or you don't have a squelch or anything, but it's radio. And it's a very fragile network of radio. And the great thing about amateur radio, it's not near as fragile because we're all doing it ourselves, and we as the amateur, the hobbyist, we are the ones who are keeping the technology moving forward, the innovation carrying it forward, and that's what makes it such a great hobby. I mean, if, you know, you hear a lot of people, like you said, the amateur radio hobby's dying. It's not. There are over 700,000 licensed amateur radio operators in the United States of America. It's the most we've ever had in this country. So that
there's a big
granted, I know, population has expanded, but we've got more now than ever.
And so, you know, let those teenage girls with their little bejeweled iPhones text back and forth. The real men, just joking, the real men and women use two-way radio. Hey, we have another caller from area code 860. Go ahead. You're on Satellite Nation.
Hello, Scott.
Hey, guys. It's Scott.
Hey, Scott. Good evening.
Hey, I'm a mile away from the ARRL here in Newington, Connecticut, and I still don't have my license yet, but I've been wanting to get it. The big problem I have is in order to take the test or even to go to classes or anything like that, I got to go to New York State. Doesn't that seem kind of ridiculous since the ARRL is right down the street?
You know, in my area, have several clubs that offer testing, you know, at least every month. Do you have any active clubs in your area?
No. It's ridiculous. It's,
I would think that they would have a testing session there. If you'll go to their website, and you probably have, they've got a club finder, and they have a listing of they also have a test finder, and you may find something that's a little closer to you, maybe during one of their big celebration weekends they have there, and you know, at the headquarters, possibly they'll have a testing session.
Yeah, it's aggravating because they're right here, and yet they don't offer anything ham radio related here.
Hey, Scott.
I think that being – yeah.
Should we make a bet between ourselves and maybe challenge each other who's going to get their amateur radio license first?
No, because you probably got more time than I do.
Oh, boy, that's a big assumption there, Scott, but okay. Way to weasel out of that, Dare.
Well, you know, a few minutes ago, Dick had called in, and he was telling us about how he studied for his extra upgrade. And basically going through, we call that the black marker option there, where you go through the entire collection of questions and you mark out every answer except the right one with a black marker. I just posted a new episode last night with a gentleman from Ann Arbor, Michigan, and he creates a study guide that you can use on your phone or print it off as a PDF or any of your wireless devices, your computer or whatever, and there are no-nonsense guides. And
KB6NU. That's Dan, right? KB6NU.
Yep. And I'm actually using his study guide for my extra studying that I'm doing right now.
Yeah, I've got a couple of books that a friend gave me. And last summer we were looking at to go to the Hamfest in Dayton, Ohio. And unfortunately he had gotten sick, so we didn't get to go down there. But I keep reading it and studying it, and one of these days I'll take the class because the questions aren't that hard.
No, you would be surprised. You would be surprised how easy it is to pass the test. And they don't want you to say that out loud necessarily, but it is very easy. It's a 35-question test. I think you have to get 29 of them correct or something like that. But I tell folks, too, it's my opinion. I wish I would have done this, but when you study and you start taking some practice exams online or something that are free to take, and you start scoring in the 80s and 90s, go ahead and start studying for your general, too, because most places will let you, if you pass one, you can take the next one up. So if you pass the tech, you can take the general and try your hand at that. And they are very close in the information that they test on, and it just offers you such a much more broad understanding. Well, that's not the right word. Of course, it's more understanding with the more knowledge, but you get such a greater operating experience with your general privileges over your technician.
And I've been using now some of those free online study guides, and they're very, very good. We'll see. You know, I've read people say, hey, if you know this stuff, you know enough for your license. So I'm hopeful because they're getting easier online, that's for sure.
Yeah. I read something online, and I don't know if it's true or not. But I understand as of February 1st of this year, if you pass your test, they no longer send you a paper license. Is that true?
That is correct. That is correct.
Yep.
I don't know. For a lot of hands I know, that's their proudest thing they have in their shack is their license hanging on the wall.
I guess it's all about tattoos and getting it inked.
On your forehead.
All right. Yeah, that was my question. And, you know, I am looking into getting into it because, as I say, they're right down the street from me. So one of these days.
Well, good luck. It's a great hobby. I think you'll have a lot of fun with it. And being that close to the headquarters, they've got an operating station they invite amateurs in to operate there with the gear, and it's a great experience.
Yeah, I pass by W1AW every morning, so I see it all the time.
Very cool. Hey, thanks for calling in, Scott. We need to wrap up for the end of the show here, but thank you so much for calling in.
All right, have a good night, guys.
Catch you later, Scott.
All right. Everybody, this evening, our special guest has been Cale Nelson, K4CDN, host of FoTime. So to listen to his blog, really great one. I've enjoyed listening to the ones that I have so far, and I'm going to go back and listen to the rest of them. www.itsfotime.com. So thank you so much for joining this evening, Cale, and we'll look forward to catching you also over at Satellite Guys. November 1 is your username.
That's right. Thank you both for having me, and I'm sure I'm going to have a lot of questions as I try to figure out how to purchase one of those motors to turn my KU dish. That's my next step down the aisle.
Well, the satellite geeks are waiting for your questions. All right. You have a great evening, Cale, and thank you for being on the show.
You too, guys. God bless you.
God bless you, Cale. Thank you. And next week we'll have me and Brian will be guests, and we're going to be discussing building your own free-to-air receiver. That's going to be a lot of fun. Discuss different options for that.
All right. And then coming up next month, we're having quite a few guests confirmed to be on Satellite Nation. So see you next week, Satellite Nation.
Tuned in tonight. Join Satellite Guys Michael and Brian next Wednesday for another informative episode of Satellite Nation. And don't forget to like our page at facebook.com/Satellite Nation Radio. Until next week, good night.